You know, a few weeks back when I saw that author, journalist, and old friend Carl Hiaasen had a new book coming out, I thought, this is going to be great. I mean, I got a chance to talk to Carl about what he's up to without all the Florida politics and all the headline weirdness of Florida intruding. Right. Well, Carl is here. His new book is called Chomp. It's a young adult yarn about wild animals, TV egos, the struggle to make a living in South Florida if you aren't a celebrity or a corrupt real estate mogul, and it stars the incredible Florida Everglades. First of all, welcome, Carl Hiaasen.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming in. And, you know, this book, Chomp, is a great read, and it's a young adult read. I want to talk to you about it in a minute. But, of course, the headlines in Florida have just intruded and taken over everything in the United States. How would you just react to what's going on in Sanford and the Trayvon case? Is there anything particular about Florida law enforcement? Or we know about the Stand Your Ground laws, but the way this has unfolded, is there a Florida or an Orlando piece to this here?
Well, I mean, those of us who worked in South Florida for so many years are not unaccustomed to these kinds of incidents, sadly. And there's been a number of them involving police officers and unarmed especially young black males over the years. And I think within the last 2 years, South Florida's probably had more police-involved shootings like this than any other in the country. So in that sense, it isn't that – I mean, it's shocking, but it isn't that unusual for us. I think in this case, because it wasn't a sworn police officer but a, you know, night watch, you know, captain or whatever rank it was, and the nature of the – pursuit and the confrontation made it a little more outrageous, and the fact that there was apparent initially no thought given to charging the guy, I mean, pretty astonishing.
Totally, and I guess it makes me think: is there a sense in Florida that the security guards, for lack of a better word, the deputized non-official law enforcement folks are acting out in some way that's particularly Floridian? Or is this an American story?
No, I think this is an American story. Yeah. I think you can go in any community. And I remember when the Guardian Angels sort of caught fire. I mean, some of them I think were sincere and some of them were well-meaning, and some of them were just frustrated people who couldn't get a job as a cop, and they just, this was the next best thing. Or couldn't get a job at, you know, as an armored car driver. They could whatever, and this is the closest to law enforcement they get. And now in Florida, of course, anybody with a pulse can get a gun. It's much easier to get a gun than get a driver's license. So now you have the added sort of the vigilante or the neighborhood vigilance aspect combined with the easy access to firearms, and it's really a recipe for this to happen. The 911 tape certainly didn't help. No. You know, listening to the remarks alleged by this individual, but no, it's a tragic case. I'm not sure it's peculiar to Florida. I think it could have happened in a lot of different places I know, including some northern cities.
Although the political grandstanding we saw last week, nothing to do with the Trayvon case. Pam Bondi, your attorney general, the lead plaintiff in the suit before the Supreme Court on health care reform. She was crowing about being sort of on the vanguard trying to take down the Affordable Health Care Act. Is the elimination of the Health Care Reform Act a big populist issue in Florida, or is it just among conservatives?
It's mainly conservatives, and it just as it is around the country, it's mainly conservatives. No, she didn't get elected on an anti-health care platform. I mean, attorney generals get elected on a crime-fighting platform, but this is a chance to gain some national prominence in an area where, you know, this is the closest she'll ever get to the Supreme Court. But believe me when I tell you that. And so this is a chance to, you know, weasel into the limelight. And all she did was throw her hat into with a bunch of other states and egged on by, you know, some radio show hosts who thought this was a great way for the state of Florida to spend its money, you know, at a time when we've got one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. So, you know, it's a clown act.
Talking with Carl Hiaasen, best-selling novelist, columnist for the Miami Herald, and, you know, who knows everything there is to know about Florida. And this new book, Chomp, it seems to me, really stars the Everglades.
Yeah,
there's a great scene in here, and I don't want to give anything away. And you can tell me about the outlandish characters and the outlandish stories that you've made your career in your fiction writing. And this is a young adult novel, but there's a scene in this where an individual is lost in the Everglades. He's out there. And it occurred to me that there are not that many places in the United States where if you drop somebody in, there's almost no way you can survive the Everglades. I mean, okay, top of a mountain in the Rockies, all right, but that or Antarctica, North Pole, but the Everglades, you know, at 70 degrees is about as lethal an environment as you can find. How did you come up with that?
Well, I mean, I grew up down there, and I spent a lot of time. I still do spend a lot of time there, and it's still incredibly remote in certain areas. It's very easy to get lost, and it's the one part of Florida that sort of hasn't been overwhelmed by concrete and development because it was impossible to drain. They've been trying to drain the place for 100 years, and they gave up and finally just made it a park. But it's very wild, and in the summertime in particular when it's hot and you have storms, lightning storms or hurricanes, it's a pretty scary place to be. And I took this kind of self-inflated TV survivalist, and I thought it would be fun to throw him out in the middle and really make him survive. The guy can't, you know, the guy doesn't do well outside of a Ritz-Carlton, but he's out there and with these kids and trying to make it. I thought it was just a funny thing.
And the other main character in this book is an alligator wrestler. Or at least someone who knows.
Yeah, where they're wranglers, actually.
Wranglers.
And he's a guy, I know these guys, and they supply the wild animals for these TV shows and documentaries that you see on TV that you think are really wild animals out there. But they pay guys like these to bring in their pet crocodiles or gators and, you know, put them in the same frame with a poor, hapless deer. You know, I mean, that's the way it goes.
And you ever been to the reptile cage up at the Bronx Zoo?
I have not.
I fall in love with reptiles. There's something adorable about reptiles to me. I wouldn't get in a cage with them, but you actually fall in love with an alligator. You've never wrestled a snake.
I have not yet.
Touched a snake?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You have you wrestled an alligator with your pals down there, your wrangler pals?
I was witness to an unofficial alligator wrestling. When I was a kid, one of my friends thought it would be fun to go into an area and grab one and drag him out by our car. And it didn't work out very well. For the game,
yeah. It didn't work out very well? Is your friend, like, missing a leg or
almost,
something?
He almost was missing his head. It was a pretty close call. But I've done a lot of – I mean, I raised snakes. And I've had a lot of snakes. I've been bitten by all this stuff. This was my childhood. There was really nothing to do. We didn't have skateboard parks. So we just went out and brought all this crazy stuff home and until our parents made us get rid of it. You know, or bleeding from the arms at that point.
Or you started working for TV.
Yeah.
You had so many animals, right? So Tampa will be the setting. All the world will be watching.
Oh, we're a flutter convention. With excitement. We're levitating with excitement about this, too.
I believe I'll be down there in Tampa. You going to hang out with me, or are you going to go off to the west?
I will be in the middle of the Everglades when this is happening. I would much rather be with some 12-foot reptilian than anywhere near any convention center. That's a nonpartisan statement.
So at the GOP convention, predict for me what will be on display in Florida in terms of the Republicans in Florida wanting to put on center stage in the best light, and what will be absolutely shut away in a box and you won't see it for a week.
Well, I don't think that – I mean, no matter how much stagecraft is involved, I don't think you'll keep the more fringe elements of the – for instance, the Tea Party will be marching around and there'll be elements of that. They're going to be dissatisfied with Romney, and they'll be pushing, you know, whoever as the vice president. So there'll be some, you know, sort of embarrassing moments like that. But largely, I think it's going to be by then under control, and everybody will be behind Romney, and a lot of this stuff will be forgotten. But you can't hide the freak show in Florida. There's always going to be there'll be somebody there. You know, there'll be if this sad case. You know, the Trayvon case is continuing. There'll be anti-Trayvon demonstrations. There'll be pro-gun demonstrations. There'll be
really,
But I'm not sure how much airtime it's going to get. But those folks will show up because it'll be a national media will be there, and this is their way of saying, you know, they're there, and they'll be wearing their guns on their hips, and it'll really make us look good. Those things really always make us look like a sane and civilized place to live.
Before we go, though, love for Mitt Romney? You were there during the Florida primary. Will there be love in Florida for Mitt Romney?
I mean, I think there. I didn't see any love. But on the other hand, whatever the opposite of it, of the emotion for Newt Gingrich was, you know, you have a guy, even, you know, he wants to put a base on the moon. And at that point, you're going to love anybody else. You've got to, you've just got to say, whoever doesn't want a moon base will vote for that guy.
Words to live by. Carl Hyacin, bestselling novelist, columnist of the Miami Herald, and author of the new young adult book, Chomp. Carl, thanks so much.
Great seeing you again, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.